Blog Talk Radio.
Muy buenas noches, boricuas del mundo. Otro viernes y esta es otra edición de Boricuas of the World Country Club Talk Show, trayéndole lo mejor en música, charla, educación y política para el deleite de todos, con su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera.
Buenas noches, boricuas del mundo, ¿cómo están todos? Espero que estén bien. Hoy tenemos otra edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Y tenemos también a nuestro amigo Jonathan Marcantoni, que nos trae otro libro, muy especial, para que nosotros no solamente escuchemos lo que él nos habla, sino que también vayamos y buscamos el libro y lo podamos leer. Nosotros no leemos mucho, así que después que tenemos tabletas y computadoras y cosas, dejamos de leer, y es importante que leamos estos libros y estas cosas. Así que dentro de un ratito ya estamos con él. Como siempre les pido que nos unan a su gente a nuestra página, que venga a Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show en Facebook y nos dé un gran like, y le diga a toda su gente que nos añadan también, porque es importante crecer y queremos seguir por ahí para adelante. Como ustedes saben, nosotros hemos trabajado en un paquetón de eventos ya con distintas entidades y han salido cosas muy buenas de eso. Nosotros le estamos pidiendo a todo el mundo que si quiere empezar a participar en todas estas cosas, que nos mande su correo electrónico para nosotros, lo ponemos en la lista de seguidores, y así cuando tengamos los nuevos eventos que ya vienen por ahí, ya hemos hecho un par de eventos, uno con Jonathan Marcantoni y sus amigos, y otro con Nelson Dennis, y vamos a seguir haciendo esto. Cuando hagamos más eventos, pues entonces le podemos mandar un correo especial a ustedes diciéndole, mire, tengamos este evento. Ustedes serán los primeros que van a escuchar acerca de estos eventos. Así que mándenos un correo electrónico con su deseo de ponerse en nuestra lista. Lo que tienen que hacer es, por favor, añádame a la lista de seguidores. ¿Ok? So, no se olviden de eso, que eso es importantísimo, como siempre digo. Con nosotros tenemos a Jonathan, otra vez Marcantoni, que siempre está con nosotros todos los primeros. Sí, todos los primeros del mes siempre aparece aquí como si fuera cogiendo un cheque de welfare. Siempre aparece el día primero a buscar su chequecito. De todos modos, Jonathan, ¿cómo tú estás, mi hermano?
Sí. Bueno, estoy muy bien, muy bien. Ha sido una semana muy, muy, muy divertido y muy feliz. Y por eso tengo muchas gracias a la vida, a Dios, a cualquier cosa.
Y ha sido muy divertido, pero entonces va a tener que compartir. Why has it been so divertido?
It has been so divertido because I got to see some friends I haven't had the chance to see in recent times, and got to hang out with them this last week. I finally stopped working for a absolutely horrible person who has made my life hell for the last 3 months. So that helps. That just boosts my mood right there. And then this afternoon, we went up into the mountains and did some sledding, and that was really fun.
Oh. We can't do that here in New York because today was 79 degrees, and at this moment now it's 65 degrees still. So we have no snow in any building, right, in any mountain. But I'm glad you're in Colorado, so, you know, enjoy the snow. Yeah. I guess you're used to that. I'm not a big snow person. You know,
I'm not really either. It has to be in the right context. You know, like snow around the holidays, it's kind of nice. Snow when you're up in the mountains and you're doing like snow sports, it's fun. And in any other context, I don't like it.
Yeah, I tried to go skiing with a few friends, and they all had fun because they knew how to ski. I had no fun because I did not know how to ski, and I was spending a lot of my time buried in the snow, and so I had no fun whatsoever. But the best fun I had was when we got back to the lodge and we were having hot chocolate. I was able to get out of the cold, and I've never gone back again. I love camping, you know, things of that sort, things that you do in the spring and in the summer. But please, you know, keep me away from the snow. I shouldn't say that because I live here in New York for so many years, and we had a big storm this year, but yeah. So, Jonathan, yeah. Vamos a comenzar rapidito. You tell us about what your book is about today.
Okay, well, estaba pensando porque no había tenido tiempo ese mes pasado para leer un libro nuevo. Aunque lo que he tenido la oportunidad de hacer es que escribí mi primer cuento nuevo, mi primer cuento corto nuevo en 6 años. My first short story in 6 years. I wrote it this last month. Mostly it's stress release. So this story, which I'm going to share tonight, is actually, I was thinking about this. I haven't even told you about it, so this is going to be new to you too. But I was thinking that this Boricua Book Club, it's been a lot of fun, and we're going to continue doing it. I think it's an opportunity to bring a lot of new and old writers to light. And open up some people's literary vocabulary. But not everybody has time to read an entire book. In fact, the last Boricua book of the month, Bill Bailey, I'm still reading it because it's 800 pages. And now I'm kicking myself because it is 800 pages. And I'm over the 500 mark. So I'm like, I'm so far along, I have to finish it at this point. So, you know, not everybody has time to read an entire novel, and I understand this. And so every now and again, I'm not sure exactly what the frequency is going to be, but every now and again, instead of a book, we're going to do a short story. And today's short story is my short story. It's one that I've written. You know, I've gotten to share the works of all these other people. Now today I'm going to subject you guys to my stuff. But in the future, if, you know, I have actually had a couple people send me their books for the book of the month, but now I want to put it out there that people can also send me short stories that they're working on or have completed. Doesn't matter if it's been published or not. If it has not been published, then I will actually publish it on my Medium page. Medium, of course, is a really great website where people can publish works that they're, you know, works in progress or, you know, reviews or what have you. I have complete control over this site, and I will publish their story as a part of the Boricua Book of the Month. So I think this could be kind of fun. Yeah, I think it would be a really fun opportunity.
And this book that you're sharing with us today, when did you begin writing it?
This story, I actually wrote it over the course of a week, in the middle of March, and it all started because I had a dream where, I've been reading a lot of Borges too, and anybody who's read Jorge Luis Borges knows that his books give you very strange dreams, and they're all about labyrinths. And so I had a dream this one night where I was stuck in a labyrinth, but that labyrinth was the New York subway system.
It is a labyrinth.
You New York. Yes, it is a labyrinth, and so you New Yorkers and New York listeners, you guys know what I'm talking about, or anybody who's ever visited. It's a total labyrinth. I actually told Nelson Dennis when I came up in February, I told him that I found it easier to figure out the Tokyo subway system, which is not at all in English. And it's with a completely different alphabet than what we're used to. And I figured that shit out. I'm sorry. I figured that one out much quicker than I figured out the New York subway, which is telling you something. And so my dream was that I got stuck in this labyrinth, and it was all because I was trying to see my friend, Chris Campagnoni, He's also a really great writer, albeit not Boricua, not that I will hold that against him. he's still good people. They're Cubans. Cubans are...
He's a good guy. I've met him, and he's a really good guy. Yeah.
So Take the A-Train is sort of my riffing off of that dream. And, of course, for anybody who's a jazz aficionado, is familiar with the album Take the A-Train, which is done by John Coltrane way back in the 1950s. It was a really great song, but like with any great jazz song, it includes a lot of improvisations and a lot of repetitions and a lot of innovations. And this story is no different. I wanted to capture a dreamlike feel. I also wanted to probe a lot of very deep philosophical questions that I've been having. Lately, I would say in the last few months, because last year I was writing a lot for Latino Rebels, and I was doing a lot of social commentary. And the whole journalism world kind of made me really bitter and pessimistic. And so now I've sort of stepped away from it because I sort of didn't like the person that I was becoming, and it raised a lot of questions about how I view the world and how I view humanity and where I see the world going. And so all these different philosophical questions I put into this story. One of the things that is so wonderful about Borges is that, yeah, he has all this weird stuff going on, but at the same time, he's asking very relevant questions about who we are as people.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you ready?
So, yes, I'm ready. And I also have something for you, because since you mentioned that you were going to do this with that carried the name of a train here in New York, I decided to give you a little jazz background. So I sat down all week, just like you did with your book, and I wrote a tune to be a background for your reading. So if you're ready, I'm ready.
All right, let's get this done.
Nos vamos con la música.
Take the A-Train by Jonathan Marcantoni. The old man had said life is a manifestation of the place your mind is in. And as I traversed the cramped corridors of what I believed to be 59th Street, on my way to the A-Train to see my friend Chris, who told me, don't go south of 59th, it's madness trying to go north this time of day. And by the time you get to Brooklyn, I won't even be here. Take the 1 to 59th and the A to High Street, and it all sounded like code, like we were Navajo windtalkers during the Great War, which the old man looked like he fought in, a face of craters and deep ravines, but eyes as alert as a teenager at a peep show. Life is a manifestation of the place your mind is in, and where is your mind, son? I have to admit I couldn't say. My journey was only supposed to take under an hour, and I sensed that time had stretched far beyond that. But what is time when you are underground and can't see the sun? And what makes the sun day and the moon night? How do we know we are moving in the right direction? You ask yourself worthless questions, Chris was fond of saying between sake bombs on Lexington Avenue with his new girl, or was she soon to be his old lady? One can never tell. Your friend sounds like a busy man, you could say that. But Chris was a person of velocity, a person for whom inactivity was death. If he could run in his sleep, he would. And I knew this because I was the same. We always said we could have been brothers, cut from a cosmic cloth and sent to different ends of the earth, condemned to lives of what Pieper would call true leisure. For inactivity is not leisure, but rather doing the things you love. To dedicate one's life to useless introspection for the sake of passing time or mindless work for the sake of money was a lazy human being who had wasted life. And I had spent the previous months wondering which track I was currently on. It depends on the day. That sounds like you, always in crisis. Fuck you, friend. Do you always speak of your friends in such a way? Only when they speak the truth. The collision of conversations, the ghosts of sounds once emanated from human mouths, now free from the bodies and personalities of the people who spoke them, filled my inner ear as I entered the train and sounds were replaced by the conductor announcing the next stop. But it was enveloped in static, so that might as well have been a memory, too. And as the train proceeded, I felt as though its roar had torn through my body and time became unhinged as I realized that in the dark of the earth there are no clocks, no sense of place, that the hour and minute I held myself hostage to was an invention I understood very little about. And what else do I not know? What other truths had I taken at face value without asking why it was a truth to begin with? Deep in the belly of Manhattan, the gentle sway of the train coerced to the surface a thought that appeared to me the way a dream reveals knowledge you always suspected but could never put into words. I am not my own person. The old man laughed when he grabbed my shirt on the platform and looked at me the way a comedian scans the audience after saying an unfunny joke. How many times have we passed each other? I would say 8, but in truth, I haven't counted at all. All to get on the A train? From where? 145th Street? Well, where are you going? High Street? That's one transfer. The only thing easier would be a direct shot. But every time I get off, I can't find the A train. Well, of course you can. Now you have to take the 2 uptown to the 7, then 7 east to the 4 uptown to 51st to catch the A. And which station exactly is this, so I can tell my friend? Young man, this is a conversation only New Yorkers could understand, and you are clearly not a New Yorker. So what do? Change where I was born? Not the weirdest thing that's ever been done. If you can alter your reality with the weight of your thoughts, why not alter your history as well? Think on it for the next time we talk. When I had last seen sunshine, I was hungover while chatting with Chris on the phone. When he told me to take the A at 59th and not go south of it. Take the A to 59th and not go south of it. At that point, we lost reception, and the last blade of sunlight was shut off by the tunnel ceiling. At the time, I had been thinking about the nature of civilization and how man appeared to be in a ceaseless loop of suffering, madness, domination, apology for said domination, continuation of oppression under new terms, rinse, repeat, found a city and then watch it burn and found it again. It was madness, and I couldn't let it go. The dark heart of mankind transcends race and ethnicity. We make the same mistakes in every century and only progress in the creation of the means of destroying ourselves. Yet we continue existing, and I don't understand why, when the nature of nature is its perpetuation, that our nature appears to be annihilation. Was nature keeping us in existence as a counterbalance, as a force to fight against? The questions kept coming, and the only answer I could bring myself to was that mankind was an aberration, that both needed to be erased and could not be erased. We tinker on the brink of demise without ever toppling over, and the whole planet suffers as a result. But there is no escape. That was obvious. The exit signs were everywhere, but the door could not be found. I got off on what I believed to be High Street, but when I went up the stairs, the corridors resembled where I had been given the labor and time directions from the old man. My cell picked up just enough reception to receive a call from Chris, who repeated his directions to his destination, and when I said I believed to be lost and freaking out about it, he just laughed and said I was always in crisis. Fuck you, friend. The line cut off and the old man approached me. Do you always speak of your friends in such a way? Only when they speak the truth. The old man laughed and grabbed my hand, and for a brief moment I sensed not only his energy, but that his and mine were one and the same, the way a child might feel when their parent hugs them or picks them up after scraping their knee. Instead of recoiling from his grasp, I fear the sensation ending too soon. It is good to see you again. How many times has it been? I can't say. To be honest, today feels like nothing but fragmented loops. I never see the same stations. I never see the station names, and I can't understand the conductor. I just count the stops and get off and wander around until I see the next train. Sometimes I don't even remember getting on. I was in the middle of a crowd, sitting on a bench, and before I could orient myself, we were all moving. And what about now, or the last few times we spoke? He smiled, and I waited for him to change back to a neutral gaze. Yet the smile lingered as I became aware that there was no sound, not from footsteps, not from talking, not from the trains grinding to a halt or accelerating forward. I looked around me and saw that everyone was frozen in place. I turned and the hallway had split into two tunnels, one moving toward the street with a red exit sign hanging from the center, and the other tunnel descending to the tracks. Yet it too had an exit sign. I turned towards the old man, yet before me was the interior of a rail car, with me seated between an obese woman and a young man lost in the music of his headphones. The sounds returned, people began to move again, and the static voice became just clear enough for me to hear 42nd Street, Grand Central. Tell me, is reality what you perceive, or what you feel that you perceive? Reality is what surrounds me. What are the things within you? The streets of New York evolve with the day. What appears withered in the shadows is glorious when exposed to the sun. The sky is sectioned off by buildings and winding avenues, and the people, their voices and bodies form a long series of distractions. Heat coming out of pipes and vents, breathing winds sweeping by without origin. Voices, languages, words cluttered and combined and confused. The city is a blur until the sun breaks through and forces your attention. That for a brief moment you stop what you are doing and marvel at the handiwork of mankind. Elaborate stone carvings that took months to perfect, on buildings that developed over years, like children tended to by the designers who poured their entire being into the creation of this marvel that, like everything else here, is completely overlooked until you are forced to stop. And then the phone rings. Chris again. I have to tell you what happened to me right now. Un-freaking-believable. Can I believe what I have lived through? It was not a theoretical situation. It happened. Yet language supposes that even the most concrete of experiences only occurred in the mind until someone else validates their existence. We'll talk about it when we meet up. Hey, I'm at 145th. What train do I take? I stood on that platform, looking for a sign, something to indicate which station I was at. The announcer, their voice garbled, and then A-train broke through. A-train leaving in 5 minutes, second platform. I raced for the stairs and descended one flight after another. The faces passing me were nothing but shadows, not even fully formed bodies. And when the ground rose up and I touched down, the corridor did not take me to a platform, but rather to the main concourse of Penn Station. Its vaulted ceiling reverberating my screams as I fell to my knees and pounded the floor, screaming until I felt a palm touch my upper back, not to grab me, but to alert me of its presence. I turned and there was the old man, and we were the only ones in the entire station. My son, I know this is hard to take. What is happening? Listen, before you can understand, I have to ask you something, and I want you to trust me that I know what I'm doing. Deal? Sure. Whatever will get me out of this hell. Okay, tell me, what came first, time or reality? That makes no sense, not in the present-day sense of the terms, but when mankind was first evolving, there were no watches or iPhones or massive clocks on the most important buildings of the cities proclaiming the minute and the hour. There was only the rising and setting of the sun. There was only light and dark. So did time come first, or was it invented to give form to reality? Well, man is an orderly animal, yet he produces nothing but chaos. Time is fiction, the sense that order can ever contain the chaos of reality. So did hours just pass on your way to see your friend? Or more importantly, do hours pass in a dream? Of course not, but this is not a dream. That's right, because in dreams no one attempts order, and yet that is all you have done, ordering the memories that haunt you, ordering the itinerary of how to arrive at your destination, ordering your understanding into a chronological story that makes sense right away when reality is far too all-consuming to make sense when you're in the middle of it. How can I solve the puzzle if I cannot see the pieces? When you are enveloped in your day-to-day activities, your mind compartmentalizes to limit reality. And this is the prison from which humans live. And it is in that prison that you have remained. That is, until now. What? You have forgotten the disconnected omnipresence of your people. You have forgotten to observe, and instead, you are acting upon the human form you were meant to follow at a distance. Like a god? Trapped in a labyrinth, yes. Tell me, is reality what you perceive, or what you feel that you perceive? Reality is what surrounds me. What are the things within you? You're wasting my time, old man. I just want to get to where I'm going. Where you are going doesn't matter two shits. Your destination tells you nothing of what you are or why you are. The whole ceiling of Penn Station broke away from its beams and ascended so that the light of day was no longer scattered, but rather a tube of light bearing down on me. And then I knew, instinctively, I knew that what he had been saying was the truth. I'm tired. I have lived 1,000 lives and none have given me any clarity. It is just action and reaction, alternating between love and hate, connection and depression, desperation and disappointment. Everything two-sided, everything inevitable. I have lived all these years, and yet I cannot break away from duality. I cannot break away from the anxiety when I realize that no matter how much I try to transcend the limitations of the species, incite equality over division, consensus over domination, peace over violence, and find a higher plane, all my plans come crashing down. These humans are incapable of progress. Hundreds of thousands of years, and the same mistakes are made, the same hatreds arise, the same ends justify the same means. Different words are used. The faces change, the technology changes. Humans remain forever chained by the inability to fully shed their animal tendencies and be the gods they were meant to be. What makes you think that these creatures could ever be like us? Understand that what you feel is the pain of the young god, the god of promise and hope, who sees civilization as the height of evolution, when it is anything but. Civilization binds the human animal to reinforce its tribal origins. For truth, you must retreat. You must delve into the experience that is not governed by laws or ever-changing social mores. Truth is eternal. Trends only fade. Civilization is a trend? Yes, and it will meet its end. You, my son, you take this train and return to the life of the body you inhabit. But before you arrive, remind yourself of the deep wisdom that makes us what we are. Like an exploding missile, the sounds of humanity and machinery invaded my mind, and I lifted myself up and joined the masses winding through the tunnel to the A-train. As we stood on the platform, I listened to my breaths as they echoed in my ears, and I felt the movement from my brain to my lungs. Entering the train, I felt the weight of air as my feet rose and the impact when they descended, springing off the concrete and into the air. Grabbing onto a pole with five other passengers, I sensed their presence, inhaled their smell, and inferred their moods by the looks on their faces. Some calm, some nervous. Only a couple people around me visibly happy, probably tourists, but you never know. The New York soul can surprise you. As the train cut through the hollowed core of the island of Manhattan, I felt the absence of time, so that the movement of people in and out, the movement of steel against wheels, against air, against mechanics hurtling toward infinity, the boundless energy of life manifested in the restless bodies of people surrounding me, and I sensed the rhythm that rests in these cars, waiting to propel toward the surface, the rhythm that caresses and leaps and is subdued only to escape, full throttle down these streets. The rhythm then synchronizes with the friends we make, the lovers we devour, the pets we adore, the rhythm that yearns for the sea, for openness, for freedom from the masses, to rest and build so as to create. Propelling toward Brooklyn, I feel the self that is bound to time and place returning. I recall this frustration at the futility of modern culture, at the pettiness of the distractions that its fellow humans obsess over, the grievances that consume the people of this earth, some generations old, some created by the internet to fill its space, some created by lonely people trying not to be bored, or trying to create meaning for themselves while missing the whole point that meaning is fluid, the illusion of importance required in the absence of anything to create. For the world is nearly filled to the brim, and there are more people than ideas, and the love we yearn for is in fact small. But our dreams are big, and the anxiety over this conundrum blinds the entire species to the fact that our time here will be over soon. The catastrophes are around the corner, and if only we would shut up and stop what we are doing, we could all see that this masquerade of civilization is on its last leg, and for all the obsessing over creating and mattering and doing, that the one thing nobody has bothered to solve is how do we evolve past this level of existence before it comes crashing down. I understand. I understand why this body I inhabit is so filled with rage and disgust, why it can hardly rest and why it can hardly appreciate its gifts. To return to the fullness of its consciousness is to feel my own death. And before I lose myself, I wonder if the fears and frustrations of this human are a reflection of my own knowledge, or if he, in fact, and contrary to what the old man says, is. The doors opened and I passed through them, unsure of what just happened and why I felt like I had woken up from a months-long nap. The High Street station was more familiar than it had any right to be. But ascending the stairs to the street above, I had the nagging intuition that I was exiting a womb. And as I stared out on the maze of boulevards and buildings of Brooklyn, which I had walked for years, I could not shake the feeling that it was instead the labyrinth below my feet that I truly called home. The end.
Yeah. Sigue por ahí, muchacho, que me quedé a mitad de camino. Wow.
Bueno.
And that's all from my dream, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I expanded off of the dream, but yeah.
It's wow. It just takes you places. It's a quick mm-hmm. It's a quick travel.
mm-hmm.
Although you were stuck in the tunnels, huh?
Yeah, pero hay muchas ideas profundas. I mean, there's a lot to chew on.
Exactly. That's why I say that's it's a deep travel, sort of say. I kept, you know, the good thing when you do these readings here is that I sit here and I listen, and I'm just another one of the audience. And so when it's finished, eso es todo. Well, that's great, and I want to read that sucker. So how do I do that?
All right, well, it is available on Medium.com. That is where I released it. And I am actually going to post the link on the Boricuas of the World Facebook page and share it on Twitter as well. And then, of course, once the show goes into archives, anybody can hear the reading as well as read the story.
Yes, yes. Put it on both pages if you can, Boricuas of the World Social Club and Boricuas of the World Social Club talk show. Increíble. Mm-hmm. Increíble. And, folks, you know, he had a little background, some of the music I wrote. We're going to try to do a little music for Jonathan every time that he does. And, of course, dealing with the theme that he has in mind, we'll try to do a little music for him every so often because it's so much nicer. I was just relaxed listening to your voice, you know. It's really, 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 really good.
Yeah, well,
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, that was one of the things that we got really great feedback on at the Writer's Showcase. And other events that I've done. I mean, people really appreciate that music being there. It makes the story come alive even more.
Yeah, you know, I had not been writing for a while because I had a problem with the software. But I was able to get it fixed, and I enjoy writing. I do that all the time since I'm here in the house, you know, and I have a little time to kill sometimes, you know, besides doing my work. I'll just sit on my keyboard and the computer, and I begin writing. And I have some really good software that allows me to do a lot of good things, and I can work fairly quickly. I've been doing this for so long, you know. I'm in my 60s, so I got plenty of experience. But I think it's a great idea to add music to the stuff that you do because it brings it to life a little bit better. It was a little jazzy, the music that you had in the background, and it's just, you know, talking about the A-Train, you know. Pero gracias, mi hermano. Ha sido un placer escuchar tu voz una vez más por aquí, por lo menos por los medios de Black Talk Radio. Bueno, mi gente, nos vamos a ir. Como vieron, tenemos un nuevo tema que hicimos y que vamos a mejorar. Ya cambiamos el tema viejo, queremos pasar a una etapa nueva. Y hoy le tenemos también una pequeña canción que yo escribí y grabé en los 80. No es una cosa profesional, no es una cosa de otro mundo, pero quiero que escuchen un poquito del trabajo que yo hice. Y le quiero dar las gracias también a mi gran amigo Jonathan MacAnthony por venir aquí todos los meses con un nuevo libro y esta vez traernos algo que él escribió, porque yo quiero que ustedes se acostumbren a escuchar, porque yo quiero que él les enseñe lo que él escribió.
El placer es mío,
unos cuantos
amigo.
Libros. Ha sido un gran escritor y ha escrito ya, este sería tu libro, bueno, que sea una historia pequeña, pero ha escrito tres libros, ¿no? Tres libros y una historia pequeña.
Tres libros, eso es el cuarto mes. No puedo creerlo.
Pero sí, son historias muy interesantes. Yo las he leído y son sabrosas para la mente. ¿Usted sabe lo que es algo que es sabroso para la mente? Así son los libros de Jonathan. Así que salga y cómprelo. Jonathan, también háblale un poquito cuando pongas tus cosas de los libros tuyos. Give them a little bit of the stuff that you've written so that they can understand it, they know where to get it, they can have some fun while reading. You know, I mean, they can just go on the A-Train, sit down and read your book. You know?
that's right. Well, right now, two of my books are available both from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, both in ebook and in paperback. And those are Kings of 7th Avenue and Traveler's Rest. My book, The Feast of San Sebastian, I actually took out of print so that I could do a second edition. I'm actually working on a second edition for the book. It'll revise the novel a bit and add some new material. It'll be really great, and hopefully it'll be back in circulation soon.
Will it ever come out as La Fiesta de San Sebastián?
Bueno, actually, there is a Spanish version of it.
There is?
El Festejo, yeah, El Festejo de San Sebastián. It's available as an e-book on the website Casa del Libro. But it is available as an e-book in Spanish. It was published by a press called Araña Editorial. And then, actually, my first Spanish novel, Trisiana, will be coming out this fall from Floricanto Press.
Y van a escucharlo primero aquí para que lo sepan. Así que prepárense y estén ready para salir y comprar ese libro que es un, aunque tiene apellido italiano, es un boricua. Y entonces tenemos que respaldar a toda nuestra gente, comprar sus libros, su música, todo lo que nosotros los boricuas hacemos, lo hacemos de corazón. Y Jonathan es incluido en eso. Él trabaja muy bonito, tiene un palabreo muy bueno y tenemos que respaldar a nuestra gente, así que vaya y compre esos libros. De todos modos, nos quedamos sin tiempo, mi gente, yo los quiero mucho. Vamos a dejarlo con un poquito de música, como le dije, algo que yo escribí, que no es una cosa de otro mundo, no está súper bien grabado, pero es una musiquita para que más o menos vayan entendiendo quién es Will Santiago Viera. Como siempre les digo, para saber a dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Jonathan, muchas gracias, mi hermano.
Claro que sí.
Hablamos pronto. Que la pasen bien, mi gente. Que Dios me los bendiga. Y hasta la próxima semana. Los dejo con esta musiquita.
Buena.
Bye, bye.
Oh, life is full of pretty things. And one of those pretty things, girl, is you.
We have to endure our lives and live for the rest of